applause. It was a sort of otherworldly experience.
It was one of those moments that will stay with me the rest of my life.
Unfortunately, we filmed it.
I'm not a stranger to the dark. Hide away, they say, 'cause we don't want your broken parts. I've learned to be ashamed of all my scars. Run away, they say.
You know, Hugh Jackman says that every performance he gives is his way of giving glory back to God. And so when you hear that song, "This Is Me," it's a declaration that can elicit a wide range of emotion. And I believe much of that emotion is determined by our mindset and how we receive and act upon the "This Is Me" message. I don't know if you've tuned into the world lately, but there's a lot of "This Is Me" going on. And your mindset can also determine a lot about how your life is going to go in a positive or a negative direction. Author Carol Dweck, in her book Mindset, The New Psychology of Success, deals with what she calls a growth or fixed mindset. The growth mindset is believing you can grow and learn and change through trying and failing into a stronger you. The sky is the limit if you're willing to grow and change. The mindset that she calls a fixed mindset is where people say, "What's the use? My intelligence, my talents, it's fixed. Why even try?" So we give up and don't grow. If you want to truly grasp what I'm saying here today, I would suggest you get that book, Mindset, the New Psychology of Success, and actually read it. Sometimes I buy books that I think are great, and I don't read them. Anybody else out there? I would read that book. It's a game changer. So in dealing with this is me declaration, we need to start with the truth. And the truth will set you free, but how many know that it's going to punch you in the face first? And see, the truth of God smacks goodness into us and the hellishness out of us. And I'm going to be your true friend today. That means I'm going to stab you, not in the back, but right in the front. My name is Jimmy Furzlaff. I am your friend. And I may step on your toes today, but I promise I will not ruin your shine. Because I'm looking and talking to a bunch of winners. Winners, I believe, want to hear the truth because they want to win in life, in relationships. I'm not talking about winning an argument. That's not winning. I'm talking about winning at life. It's like building an underground fight club is what we're doing. You know, raising up men and women in this generation that are character-driven, integrous men and women of power that use that power to strengthen other people. I'm talking about winning a family championship that in doing that, I think we should be like a dog. Vic brought up dogs. I think we could have went home after that little thing. Put your head down. You know that God is going to bring it. But I think we should be like a dog because you know what? When a dog gets uncomfortable, it gets up and moves. When a human gets uncomfortable, it don't do nothing about it except for maybe post about it on Facebook or Twitter, right? So I honestly think we should be like dogs today and get up and move in the right direction with truth. And this 66 books of the Bible that I hold in my hand is the ultimate truth in this is me world. And so the first dose of truths I have for you today is from 1 Corinthians 6, 1. And I'm going to read all the way to verse 12. And it says this, does any one of you, when he has a complaint, a civil dispute, not talking about criminal disputes, that's fine to go to court on a criminal dispute, but a civil dispute with another believer, dare to go to law before unrighteous men, non-believers, instead of placing the issue before the saints who are God's people? Do you not know that the saints, God's people, will one day judge the world? If the world is to be judged by you, are you not competent to trial trivial, insignificant, petty cases? Do you not know that we believers will judge angels? How much more then as to the matters of this life? So if you have lawsuits dealing with the matters of this life and you're appointing judges to hear disputes who have no account in the church, I say this to your shame. Can it be that there is not one wise man among you who is governed by integrity and will be able to and competent to decide private disputes between his fellow believers? But instead, brother goes against brother, and that before judges who are unbelievers? Why, the very fact that you have lawsuits with one another is already a defeat. Why not rather be wrong? Why not take the high road? Why not rather be defrauded? On the contrary, it is you who wrong and defraud. He's talking to us, by the way. And you do this even to your brothers and sisters. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. The funny thing about being deceived is you don't know you're deceived. You think you're right. Do not be deceived, neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate. Oh, hold on. Let's back up. This is a good list. I love this list. Because every single one of us, as you will see, is on this list. Neither the sexually immoral, ever been that way, nor idolaters ever had anything that you put before God. That's an idolater. Nor adulterers. I didn't commit adultery. Well, New Testament, if you look on someone with lust in your heart, bink. Nor effeminate, nor by perversion, nor those who participate in homosexuality, nor thieves, nor greedy, nor drunkards, nor revilers, whose words are used as weapons to abuse, insult, humiliate, intimidate, or slander, lying or being lied against. Nor swindlers will inherit or have any share in the kingdom of God. Verse 11 says this, though, and such were some of you. I think it's the only mistake I found in the Bible, and it means all of you, but but it's trying to be nice. As such were all of you before you believed. But you were washed by the atoning sacrifice of Christ. You were sanctified, set apart for God, and made holy. You were justified, declared free of guilt in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Holy Spirit of our God. The source of the new believer's life and changed behavior. Underline that. Everything is permissible for me, but not all things are beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be enslaved by anything and brought under its power, allowing it to control me, except this word and the Holy Spirit. The world says, this is me, deal with it. They have to say that. They have no power to deal with their 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10 predicament. So they say what they're supposed to say. This is me. What are you going to do about it? And I think rather than just a defiant statement, which sometimes it is, it's also a great cry for help. And a lot of times, we as Christians have the same cry. This is me! This is me? This is me. And I think it's the last one that gets God's attention. A humble and contrite heart, he will not refuse. You want to be irresistible to God? Stop condemning others. Stop condemning yourself. And humble yourself. And I'll be honest with you, we've all got some splaining to do, Lucy. Christians say, this is me, and God says, yep, now let's go to work. Because let me tell you something, hard work is still the shortcut that nobody's looking for. You see, I've been in this growth versus fixed mindset wrestling match for about 2 years when I first picked up the book. Every single day, I have this, like, core checklist. You know, you hear about going to the gym and working on your core. We did some core workouts last night with Trent. He had a bunch of friends over. I'm like, I can't get all like sore. I won't be able to talk tomorrow. But we did a core workout. And see, I have this core checklist based on some godly values that Jamie, Trent, and I have adopted. See, our values, church, is the lens through which we see things through. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. I decided I was going to be that dog that got up and moved. Daily, I was going to change my input. I was going to read the Bible and apply it. That's a novel thought for a Christian. Every day, not just in my job, because I get paid to pray for people and to do the stuff I do here, but in life. Reading books that challenge, associating myself with other winners, turning off the TV. Oh, yeah. You know why I turned off the TV? Because I was driving around Las Vegas, and I saw this UFO flying across the valley. And the UFO was beaming up this tractor beam, or it was beaming up this TV in its tractor beam. The TV was nice. It's an 80-inch curved screen Samsung HD 4K. Come on, man. You know that is a nice TV. And so I got out my phone, wherever my phone was, and I was like, because I heard the aliens talking to the mothership, and I'm like, what are they saying? So I got out my phone, and I put it on Google Translate. I put it out the window, and I'm like, and you know what I heard? I heard, our work is finished here. We've captured their leader. The TV being tractor beamed up. Yeah. Romans 12:2 says this, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you can test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. We get to test and approve his will, his good, pleasing, and perfect will after we've been transformed. And you don't get transformed unless you spend some time working on it. So, how this might play out, may not play out in your life this way, but it played out in mine about a month ago, was talking to Trent and Jamie, and the conversation turned difficult, like really difficult. And my son got really brave, because how many know that bravery is not doing something in the absence of fear? Being brave is doing it anyway. Like, scared enough that you wet your pants and you do it anyway. You do it with wet pants. And so, talking about this mindset thing, he was brave enough to disclose to me a mindset that I had evidently helped foster. And I'll be honest with you, man, I could have done what I have done before with people, is maybe shut it down, get defensive, deny it. But I decided to listen. And as I listened, this happened, because I felt the weight of what he was going through. Instead of getting defensive, instead of getting abrasive, because I think that I've been trying to change and be that dog that moves, I said, hey, I apologized. I took responsibility. I didn't mean to foster the mindset that he had come up with, and it wasn't true. But the fact is that it was true to him. He felt it. He was believing to believe it, and he didn't want to believe it. And I propose to you today that that story is what a fully alive Christian looks like. Not perfect, but coming alive and doing things differently. Go ahead and take responsibility. Don't be defensive. Learn. Understand that somebody's probably trying to share something with you because they really want you to see it from a different perspective. And you may disagree or agree with that perspective, but coming alive and doing things differently is what the world is looking for, man. I'm telling you, the fully alive Christian is the answer that the world is looking for. And you may see some Christians on TV or the movies, but the fully alive Christian I'm talking about is the people you'll never see in the papers, you'll never see in the movies, you'll never see them on a big screen. It's me and you. And you and I have the ability to be Christians because we're the ones who aren't satisfied with the status quo. But we don't get into yelling matches to try to prove our points most of the time. The fully alive Christians are the ones giving the smiles, the words of encouragement, the casual prayer for those we rub shoulders with on a daily basis. The ones who have the roaring lion inside of us. This is me. And yet we display him with grace and truth and trust and mercy, and kindness. They're not rattled by the world events on the news, and rather saying, well, you know, the Bible says that's going to go from bad to worse. They say, I see the chaos, I see the darkness, but now is my time for my light in Christ to shine. Because the darker it gets, the brighter a small light looks. So this thinking, called a growth mindset, we look at things in life as an adventure to be lived rather than a mundane task to be checked off a list. It's choosing to find common ground with people before you try to take them to higher ground. It's choosing to chew up the meat and spit out the bones. It means telling someone the truth in love rather than always straightening them out. It's planting seeds of greatness in people. But many times Christians will shut down, check out, say nothing, but letting the frustration, disappointment, and anger build up to the boiling point and then unashamedly attempt to clean up the vomit after the fact. I'm telling you today, there is another way, a fully alive way. It's the people who understand the Bible and read books like Mindset, like being the dog that gets up and actually moves towards a solution. The book that I read like that was called The Compound Effect. Great book. It says you can start off by making small intentional choices of change and repeat those small victories every single day, and soon they will compound into a great change. I hope you realize that your quest to be fully alive is only real truth in this world flows from that book right there. The truth will set you free, but yes, it does punch you in the face first. And the pure truth in the Bible is best utilized only if you're a Christian. One who has repented of their sin, check yourself against the Ten Commandments. You've asked God to forgive you, you've received the Son Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. You all know this. If some of you don't, please listen. You've received His Son as your personal Savior. You've repented. So you now have the Holy Spirit inside of you, who literally, the Holy Spirit literally has every answer to every question in the universe. And we have that guy living inside of us. Amen? I propose to you today that we Christians are in a peculiar situation, and that peculiar situation is the fact that we have been created for greatness, but we live in a world that programs us for failure. To bolster this proposition of created for greatness, I submit to you the following evidence from Genesis 1:26. It says this: Then God said, Let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image, according to our likeness. It's a spiritual likeness and a spiritual personality and a moral likeness. And let them have complete authority over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over the entire earth, and over everything that creeps and crawls on the earth. You also understand that everything on the planet belongs to God, that he gave dominion to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve sinned, gave some of that dominion away to Satan. Christ came, purchased back all authority. Don't believe me? Matthew 28:18 says this: Jesus came up to them and said, All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Given. That's a beautiful thing. You know why? Because he's my brother. Come on. He's my brother. Jesus is my brother, and a good brother shares stuff for all you siblings out there. Right? To further this thought, Jesus is speaking in John 16:13 says, But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That's why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Fully alive. You're fully alive. But you have to choose. And to choose, you got to change. People like, you just kind of hear it. When you say that in a room, you kind of hear the, No, man. You got to change. You say, hold it. No way. No one said nothing about changing. Well, I got good news and I got better news. Good news is that a fully alive Christian is a person that has the ability to change. Before you became a Christian, you did not have the ability to positively change. I'm sorry. The Bible says that you were a slave to sin, that you could do nothing else but sin. And I have better news. Your change will be the light to others. You know, we're here to model what success looks like and why failing can be very powerful if you fail forward. Don't be scared to fail. Anything you try new, you're going to stink at in the beginning. You're going to do it. So I pray today that you'll be the dog that gets up and moves. You know, Michael Jackson had it right. Anyone guess the song that he had it right about? The Man in the Mirror? I'm looking at the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways, and no message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a... If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. Now you know why I'm not on the worship team. So, to be fully alive, you realize, number one, that you're a Christian. Number one, number two, you have been created for greatness. You are the visible image of God. He has his fingerprint on you, man, on me. There is greatness inside of you. The one who spoke the universe into existence lives in you. You're an original. Do not die a cheap copy. We don't need another Jimmy Furslaff. We thank God. We don't need another Vic Caruso. We don't need another Randy Greer. We need none of the you. And we need power. Ephesians 2:10 says this: For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And I would caution you on trying to pull this off with your willpower. I have met some very willful people in my life. But your willpower is not there for you to make this happen, to do the good works. Your willpower, your ability to choose, is there so you can choose God, so you can choose Him, and His power comes in. And that, it was powers you so you can do good works. And it's as simple as going into a Starbucks and saying, "Hey, nice shoes, where'd you get them?" We a month or so ago, it was longer than that, several months ago. And I think because we are actively working on this, hey man, we're not just going to sit and watch TV. And I love to. Hey, football season's coming up, right? I'm going to watch a few Packer games. Sue me. But I'm not going to spend all day. I'm going to spend time being a great husband. I'm going to spend time being a great father. I'm going to spend time pouring into other people with the power, with the greatness that lives inside of me, and you have to open up your mouth. So we're in Starbucks. And because we had intentionally been doing these things on a daily basis, there was a man in there with a dog. And also said, "Hey, nice dog." We do that a lot because I'm married to Cinderella and Snow White, all bundled up in the same person. No kidding. Animals like come to our door. I wish I were kidding. We've had like 10 animals. I agreed on one. One. Love you, Snow White. Cinderella. So we're in Starbucks, and we just say hi to this guy. And next thing you know, it's amazing when you have the Holy Spirit inside of you and you walk into a place. Do you know that you're a thermostat, not a thermometer? You know you set the temperature in the places that you walk into? Do you know that you set the temperature of the conversations that you have, that you have the ability to do that? And so when we ask this man, "Hey, nice dog," he starts giving us a list of everything that's wrong with him. Come on. I mean, I promise you, we laugh, but it's true. People are out there. They have nobody to talk to. And so about halfway through, I hear the Holy Spirit say, "You're going to pray for this guy." I'm like, "Yes, I am." That wasn't always my answer. When the Holy Spirit used to say that to me, he'd say, "You're going to pray for this person." I said, "No, I'm not. Why would I do that?" "Because I told you to do. You're my son. Do it." He talks to me a little more sternly than he may you, because I'm a little stubborn. So, but because, and again, this is not about me. This is not being a super Jimmy. It's not being about being super Vic, super Christina, super Larry. It's about super you. You, Superman, doesn't hold a candle to any one of us because we have the power, we have the knowledge, we have the Spirit inside of us. And so, about halfway through, I just shut down. I'm like, "Oh, I'm gonna pray for this guy." And I don't remember. I think his name was Jeff. And so, I just, in Starbucks, right there in the middle of God and everybody. "Oh, God, Father, thank you for Jeff. God, I ask that you would just encourage him today, that you would give him your healing touch, body, mind, and spirit, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way, God, that you would let him know that there's a God in heaven that really cares about him, and that he would experience that love and that kindness today. And I know that the world is trying to break him down, Lord, but you're trying to build him up. So I pray that when he reaches out to you today, that he will find you high and lifted up, and that you have good things for him, and he just needs to believe. In Jesus' name." Something like that. I look up, the guy's crying. I don't tell you that story to, like, elicit too much emotion out of you, but I tell you that story because we're the answer the world's looking for. We're the underground fight club. Men and women of integrity. And so some of you today will want to make the greatest change by becoming a Christian. Told you how to do that. You need to repent, ask for forgiveness, accept Christ, follow him. Some of you are going to move into being more fully alive Christians. You're going to get up earlier. You're going to read your Bible more, and you're going to apply it. You know, one of the greatest lessons I ever learned was from our current district superintendent. And he had a question during a pastoral meeting. He said, or someone asked the question, "Hey, how do you balance practicality and spirituality. Practicality, praying for people. Spirituality, knowing who you are in Christ, reading your Bible. And he said the greatest thing. He said, you know, for me, practicality and spirituality are exactly like two wings on a plane. And for a plane to fly straight, it needs two wings. So if you're all spiritual, and all you do is just spiritual, 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 not a bad thing, but it's only one wing. You're going to crash. I believe that. If you're all practical, oh, let's just work. Let's just do. Let's just work. Let's just do. So the combination of spirituality practically applied in our daily lives, in our marriages. Because let me tell you what. When you pray for people, you got to know that it's not you that's doing the work. You have the person who spoke the world into existence coming, backing you up. He wears us like a glove. So some of you are going to be those fully alive Christians. You start out by getting up earlier, praying a little more, reading a little more, being bold. Reading a book, listening to a godly or a self-help podcast. A lot of us will use kinder words with important people in our lives. Why is it that we get the roughest around the people we love the most? Odd. A lot of us will seek the power before we leave the house and then see that power transform not only us but other people. So I'm going to send you home today with another song. I dance to this song. I probably won't do it here, but no, seriously. This morning, I preached to my dog, so if this was empty, I'd just be like, I mean, I walk around, Jamie goes, who are you talking to? Talking to me, talking to God. It's all good. So this morning, because I love this movie and these songs, because I truly believe that God uses the secular industry sometimes if you look closely enough, to actually give us these golden nuggets if you go find them. But you got to go seeking, and you have to look at things through the lens of Scripture. If you don't look at everything in life through the lens of Scripture, you're going to see stuff that's weird. If you look at stuff through the lens of Scripture, you're going to see the "this is me" generation that's defiantly pumping their fist at God, and you're going to see a cry for help. And I'll be honest with you, I've been as guilty as anybody in not recognizing that in a lot of instances. So this morning, I'm like, I'm speaking at church. I got my little Bose sound sport, and I go into Trent's room. I'm like, hey, he's going to wake up. And I play this song, and it's called Come Alive. And they weren't responding. I was like, come on, 14-year-olds. It takes a hurricane to wake them up. And so I figured, man, maybe if I get on the bed and do some dancing with the... They did this. Cover over the heads. Get out of here, Dad. But I want to leave you with this, and I really, really believe that it completely, completely summarizes exactly who we are and what we need to do. So I would encourage you in the morning, go a little crazy. Dial it up on YouTube and take a look at this.
You stumble through your days, got your head hung low, your sky's a shade of gray. Like a zombie in a maze, you're asleep inside, but you can shake awake, cause you're just a dead man walking, thinking that's your only option, but you can flip the switch and brighten up your darkest day. Sun is up and the color's blinding, take a world and redefine it, leave behind your narrow mind, you'll never be the same. Come alive, come alive, go and light your light, let it burn so bright, reaching up to the sky, and it's open wide, your electrified. fantasy, and you're more than you could ever be, 'cause you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. And you know you can't go back again to the world that you were living in, 'cause you're dreaming with your eyes wide open. So come alive. Stay.